The top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that. Should move with great dispatch. And we shall. Checking in at
number five.
Well, he did it. The president said he was going to do it, said he was thinking about it, and he did it. He commuted the 14-year sentence of Rob Blagojevich.
His sentence. So he'll be able to go back home with his family after serving 8 years in jail. That was a tremendously powerful, ridiculous sentence, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many others.
That's right. Okay. All right. That's true. A lot of people, I would say a majority of people, thought it was too long. But I understand why they did it. I think most people understand why they did it. Because we have to end the corruption somehow, or at least slow it down somehow, don't we? Don't we? Shouldn't we? Don't we? Oh, well. Here is Mayor Lightfoot's take on it.
You have to have compassion. That family has suffered a lot. And I think Patty Blagojevich has been very upfront about the fact that this is taking a significant toll on her daughters. And that's true of any time that a family member is separated through incarceration. President Trump is probably the least credible person to make this decision, given what he's done over and over again to thumb his nose at. One of the core principles of our democracy is that no one is above the law, and not him.
Hmm. And then we, at the very beginning of this radio show, we had Robert Blagojevich on. Robert Blagojevich is the brother of Rob Blagojevich and was co-defendant in the first trial, which ended up being a hung jury for Rod, Meal Rod. You know, when we have Rob and Rod, it was very confusing, especially on AM radio. We never knew who we were ever talking about. Because the B and the D sound, can't really tell the difference on the AM. Anyway, so Robert said this about the commutation of his brother's sentence.
I'm not going to concede one way or another as to whether my brother is guilty or innocent. But I would say these things very clearly. No one was hurt. No money was exchanged. It was politics. Bottom line. And there was an agenda by the Justice Department, and the FBI, headed by Robert Mueller at that time, Patrick Fitzgerald, who is the godfather of James Comey's child. These people are incestuously locked. And when the president says, I need to clean up the swamp, I never really understood what that meant until I reflected on our situation. And the Justice Department, of the one that we went up against, was not about right, getting it right. It was about winning and bringing down another Illinois governor.
Well, I mean, the tapes kind of speak for themselves. I mean, it has nothing to do with James Comey. James Comey wasn't even in the government during that era. He was in private practice. And whether or not and Patrick Fitzgerald, who was then the U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, whether Patrick Fitzgerald is friends with James Comey has nothing to do with the fact that Rob Blagojevich was trying to extort a children's hospital, let alone sell the Senate seat. And it's all on tape, and it's pretty damn clear. So I don't know how that's... And they knew they were doing the wrong thing, because Robert, right there, you heard him, Robert actually asked the Illinois State Police to sweep their offices for listening devices, because they were afraid they were being listened in on while they were doing the wrong thing. With all due respect, listen, everybody, I think, can share in the relief that those two kids have, who are now in their one 16 and one's 22, I believe now. And they lost those past 8 years with their father. Now, that's kind of on dad more than it is anybody else. It's not on the federal government, because if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. But that is, in fact, a happy moment for them, and it'll be a very nice reunification, I would assume. And we are awaiting, by the way, the release of Rod Blagojevich from prison. And we've got cameras, and NextStar's got cameras and microphones ready to talk to him if he does stop and talk to the press before he gets on the plane to come back here to Chicago. So all of that will be coming your way later on in this program. But first, let's do this. Let's check in on the traffic and the weather with Lauren Lapka.
For news at 10, watch WGN, Mike and Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Oh, so well done, Mr. Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Kahn.
So well done. All right, we're in the top 5 of 5. We've worked our way slowly up to
number 4.
Jurors in the Harvey Weinstein trial deliberating. Gloria Allred, who represents multiple alleged victims of Weinstein, spoke today outside a Manhattan courtroom. She referred to her client here, Mimi Haley.
I hope that this jury also understands that even though there was continued communication by my client, Mimi Haley, and I might add, it was relatively minimal. It doesn't mean that what she alleged didn't happen.
So that's one of the things with this particular case, is that in the New York case, the two victims in the New York case, alleged victims, are folks that ended up having an ongoing relationship. Both of them had an ongoing relationship with Harvey Weinstein after the incident for which he's being charged. And so there's a lot of speculation in the legal community that he's not going to get convicted in New York State, but he's facing other charges that don't have those circumstances in California. Now, the problem here, though, for the defense of Harvey Weinstein is the jury sent out a note to the judge today asking the order in which they should convict him. So that's the kind of thing where all of a sudden you're like, oh no, there's no way that he's going to get convicted. And yesterday we were talking about this on the program. We were trying to explain for people who have, a lot of people have not been paying a lot of attention to this, right? There's a lot of other things going on in the world. But just when this jury does come back and the verdict is rendered, we gave a little perspective to it. And I think a lot of people, including myself, thought, well, you know, I think the New York case is probably weak. Well, what do I know? Because now it looks like the jury is going to come back. And when that note was read to the attorneys, his defense attorneys all kind of looked down like, oh, this is not good. That's not good. Your Honor, did they say convict? Was it convict? Really? All right. More on that when that actually happens. We'll probably not hear back. We will definitely not hear back from the jury until at least tomorrow.
Number 3.
In the wake of the San Francisco Giants banning Aubrey Huff from this summer's 2010 World Series reunion, the two-time champ went on a San Francisco radio station to tell his side. Huff was asked by Joe Lowen Dibbs. I think we should rename that to Roe Lowen Dibbs. Who wants to be Low and who wants to be Dibs?
Well, I think I should be Low. It's close to Lauren.
Yes.
I'll settle on Dibs.
All right, so you're Dibs.
Dibs on Dibs.
All right, there you go. If he had any regrets, some of the inflammatory tweets that led the team to shun him, the full text of the tweet read, "Let's get a flight over and kidnap about 10 Iranian women each. We can bring them back here as they fan and feed us grapes, amongst other things." Here was his explanation.
First of all, it was earlier in the morning. I hadn't had my coffee yet. And at the time, the whole Iran thing was going down. And, you know, you're talking about war with Iran and all this stuff. And I thought to myself, you know, gosh, there's so many beautiful Iranian women that I would imagine would love to escape that place. And instead of saying, you know, go there and rescue, I just, for whatever reason in my mind in the morning, just said kidnap. Wrong choice of words. Obviously, that was the wrong choice of words. That's not what I meant.
Well, it is exactly
what you
meant.
Oh yeah, that's the only bad part of the whole thing, right?
Right. Yeah, and let's say, you know, fanning them, feeding, you know, feeding grades, sort of. Yeah, he meant everything that he said there. Now he's trying to make it all pretty and clean. Well, then he doubled down on his belief that Alyssa Nacken, right? Isn't that the pronunciation for her? The Giants assistant, who was the first female coach in baseball, should not be there.
You know, you believe what you want to believe on the left. I'm cool with it. No big deal. But don't try and tell me how to believe as well. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm in the woman coach thing. Listen, here's my deal with that. I don't believe a woman should be in men's pro sports. Absolutely not. There's so many more people, especially men that grinded it out, that deserve that spot more than she does. But I also don't believe that men belong in women's college sports or sports in general either. Why would they want to be? I wouldn't want to coach women's sports. Women are tough enough to deal with anyway. Much less be
Aubrey, do you really think right now is the time to make that joke? We're trying to have you on to present this in both lights.
But hey, man, this is you guys had me on. This is how I joke. If you don't like it, then you don't have to interview me. But you sound upset, my friend.
Hang up on him. We're done.
Wow.
Wait, was that Joe Low or Dibs that got mad there?
It sounded like Joe.
I think that's probably Joe, yeah.
I don't know. I like him, though.
Hang up on him. Hang up. Wow.
Well, let's say this. That this guy is, I don't think, helping his cause.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I don't think he cares either. But I do like how everything is, it's got to be political. You guys on the left. Well, it really has nothing to do with that. It's really not left or right. It's, these are the things that are happening in the world. Yes, the Iranian situation did flare in the aftermath of the Iranian general, our military taking out the Iranian general. But I don't know what that has to do with actually kidnapping women and making them slaves on an airplane. And then I don't really understand why it is 2020.
He's a chauvinist. That's clearly just the problem.
Oh, I think that's just part of the problem. I think that's part of the problem. All right. Well, we wish nobody good luck in that, except for Joe Low and Dibs. Right, Dibs?
You got it.
Thanks.
Get him off the line.
Okay. Hold on, Low. We're getting right back to this.
Number two.
Target attracts shoppers young and old. They go through those red doors, and so many parents. Shop of Dreams can be a safe haven where the hours and stress just melt away. For Miles, Penn, Charlie, and Taylor, Target is where their wives spend hours shopping, but they all came up with a solution to start the Husbands of Target parking lot support group. And this video has gone viral.
You know, honestly, I think this has saved my marriage. My wife and I used to constantly fight about how much time she was spending at Target. But now, thanks to the group, my marriage is stronger than ever.
I clip coupons for her now, so we can head to Target and I can hang out with the guys and she can do her thing, whatever she does in there.
Taylor, we gotta go.
Oh, come on, babe, 5 more minutes?
No, we gotta go right
just
now.
Just 5
more minutes.
You guys have been in here all day.
Oh. Damn, see the sale on the curtains? They're really nice.
They're real cute.
Gotta go.
This is like Jagweed Guys Top 5 today. Sort of what it is. You know what they should do is Target's generally standalones because they're so big in malls. But maybe Target should have a sports bar in it. Think about that.
Or they don't have to go. I don't get why they would be dragged along.
If you put bars in all retail shops, you'd be saving the retail industry.
That's also true.
That's true. Well, you know, when they put bars in the shopping, like Jewel and Mariano's and stuff, that was a godsend to me. Because, not that I probably should be, but it's a nice thing to like walk around with a glass of wine or beer, you know, as you're shopping, and you buy more, right? I mean, that's the thing. That's the beauty of that.
Instantly in a good mood.
Yeah, you're in a good mood, and all of a sudden you know what? I don't really need that, but I'm going to get it anyway. Don't you think? Oh, that's great. They just don't have the proper cup holder situation for that at least at the Marianas, haven't figured that out yet. They got to figure that out. If they're gonna sell me the wine, they should put it in something that makes sense for me to carry around, or some sort of maybe a sippy cup. Is there anything wrong with that? Because the thing falls around. You put it in that upstairs compartment, you know, where the kids sit.
I wonder if you could bring your own. If they'd yell at you, you just kind of pour it in.
They'll accuse you of stealing it, is probably what they would do. All right, and finally, let's work our way here.
Number one.
All right, here you go. A musical presentation of Rob Blagojevich's Crimes and Misdemeanors.
You walk in, your heart's broke.
and then you're in there, and they close the gates on you, and you're in prison. You're yearning for your children and for your wife and for home, and you're looking at 14 years.
Michelle Obama getting $65,000 a year for, you know, what was it, Treehouse Foods, Patty?
Treehouse.
Yeah, and she's making $300,000 over at the University of Chicago.
Yeah.
Where her husband's federal funds are going there. What?
Yeah, which, of course, went up as soon as he got elected to Senate.
But I know I'm going to change that tune. When I'm back on top in June.
Do you realize I have twice been given a longer prison sentence than Al Capone? My judge gave me a longer sentence than him.
I mean, I've got this thing, and it's golden, and I'm just not giving it up for nothing.
But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around.
Well, I've always believed in the righteousness of my cause, and still do, and that's why we keep fighting.
Look, I got to tell you, I don't want to be governor for the next 2 years. I want to get going. This has been two years where I'm doing the best I can trying to get through a brick wall and find ways around stuff. But it's like just screwing my family, and time is passing me by, and I'm stuck. It's no good.
I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
My Christian faith instructs me that forgiveness is mandatory.
You know what? Maybe that horse is ass. Harry Reid ought to be the emissary. You know? You or Harry Reid and Menendez, you guys do it.
But I thought, for whatever reason, however things have happened, that, you know, my mission was to accept manfully the fate that's been assigned to me.
Yeah, what have I got? Well, oh, the people are going to be mad, and the newspapers are going to whip me for this, okay? I busted my ass and pissed people off, and I gave your grandmother a free ride on a bus, okay? I gave your baby chance to have health care. And what do I get for that? Only 13% of y'all out there think I'm doing a good job. So all of you.
Oh my God. My grandmother was never happy about that ride on the bus, by the way. Just want to point that out. Give your effing grandmother an effing free ride on the bus. And I only get 13% approval. There you go. In his own words right there. And then they wonder, now why do we get, why were we convicted? What happened there? It is more, there will be more of a conversation about this on the other side. But let's close up the top five at five right now.
The top five at five.